This is Ed Mankey with the Green Lantern Corps cast.
Doug?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Frankie from the Green Lantern Corps cast.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Just calling to see if you're ready for our interview.
Sure, why not?
Seriously, yes. I love it. All right, so pretty much we have everyone here already, you know, our gigantic panelist of our great people here.
Firing squad.
Our firing squad, basically. And we're gonna do it simple up. I'm gonna ask how you're doing, everything, you know, everything like that. So how are you right now?
You know, I mean, whatever happens when you call up an artist and ask how they're doing, I'm not sitting in my work chair, at least. you know, that's a positive. I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Just a busy schedule, and I got a full life at the very least.
Of course, busy schedule. I'm guessing a full workload from Jeff Johns.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just trying to draw monthly is, you know, especially on the schedule that we're on, is usually a race against time. you know, we're often just about right up to the minute when it comes to finishing books, and wish that wasn't the case, because that does mean a few anxious moments. You know, a little lost sleep, a lot of lost sleep. All that jazz that goes into making life fun.
Of course. How are you liking right now drawing? I'm guessing Hal's new costume, seeing the new reboot happen.
Oh, you mean, well, with Hal's new costume, it's not that big of a change, really.
Oh, no, I know. I literally just want to point that out.
Hal's new costume. Yeah, he does have one, right?
Oh, man. Well, can you believe it? It's actually been 2 years since we talked to you last, since the last time.
I can't believe it.
I did look it up, and I was thinking, has it been? Yeah.
Less than a year.
4 years of Green Lantern.
4 years, yeah. Part of your fourth year, right? Yeah.
Jeez. Yep, I'm working on the fourth year, I mean, officially, so I think it's July is when I started, so I'm well into it. I guess that's a long run on a comic these days.
A very long tenure in a Green Lantern book.
I ain't done yet.
Well, I'm glad we know that. I'm gonna pass off the some of the questions to Andrew. Andrew, go ahead.
All right, Doug.
What's up?
Okay, I've heard it said that when it came time to design Baz, you came up with a design, and then you were basically kind of told like, no, you got to go with this instead. I mean, is that true? And is there any chance?
This is how it happened. Just that we're going to design a new character. Mm. It's going to look different. And I had the original designs that I was working on floating around the office. And then all that happened, you know, and I'm not talking like I labored on this thing and, you know, like I was, you know, sweating blood and that my hands were raw from designing this costume. It was more just, you know, doodling, which is what anybody really does when they're designing something, trying something different. And then, you know, Jeff came in with a few suggestions. I don't even recall if I put in the original design before they had given me some, you know, some guidelines. And so I went with those guidelines and tightened up what I did. And I didn't have to abandon everything that I had worked on, which was nice. Just reduce the amount of detail. It was a lot more futuristic, maybe, you know, more alien looking in some ways, or just kind of more racy, and then the idea was something far more simple. So it was nice in the aspect that whenever you're designing something and then you have to draw it again and again and again, it's best to err on the side of somewhat of simplicity. And, you know, I was nowhere near simplicity at the point. It was a cool costume. I'll probably put it up sometime for people to see. But, you know, as it stands, I was better off with the other design. And, you know, so it still came from my head. It was just with a little bit of input.
Will we ever get to see that original design you came up with?
Or better yet, can we premiere it ourselves? Just to be the greedy people we are.
Yeah, let me see. Let me run it past. I have no reason to think that it wouldn't be appropriate, but let me ask DC if they, you know, say, hey, do you ever think you want to do something with this? And then I'll see what they say.
It might go a little bit like this, though. You know, Jeff, is it okay if I do this? Like, oh, yeah, it's for the Green Lantern Corps podcast. Oh, maybe not. Just kidding.
Are you insane?
No. Our notorious streak still runs high over in D.C.
Not really.
Never. You guys can't even be speaking to those people. Do you realize what you have done?
All right. So the new 52 designs in general, including Hal's, like, how do you feel about the added line work to, say, Hal's costume, like with the shoulder business?
You know, it's bigger question is how do fans feel about it. It's not like anything. It was a very minor, you know, retooling of the costume. And for that matter, when I look at, you know, designs and then what other people, when they have to draw what they do, and, you know, after a while, it's like, it's a minor point. What it really seems to boil down to is, I didn't change, if we had mask changes, like, on his face, I don't know if I made them. I don't even know if I noticed them.
It seemed like Jim Lee added some line work to, like, the brow, almost making it like a mini Kyle mask in a way, but not really.
I feel like you had, like, the first two issues, you definitely made an effort, but then, you're right.
Did I drop the ball? Is that what you're saying?
I will say you did right, just because, again, there's not really that big of a noticeable change, and no one really notices it at all.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, I'll tell you the truth. I think the only reason I say anything, because out of all the people who've drawn him since the couple people who've drawn him since it started, your style is a lot more three-dimensional, so you're, like, one of the only artists they have working there that can make use of these, like, extra, the extra ridges and switches and buckles and stuff there. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, cool, Doug's using that, but then I'm kind of glad. I mean, I don't know. You're right. It's just basically, why does he have a seam on his mask? You know, it's like he's not going to...
You know, when I think about it, what are they, you know, the characters all, like, they have... Seems like everybody got somewhat like a collar adjustment, you know, how the collars went.
Yeah.
And then this the stuff on the shoulders and maybe some seam work on the back of the, you know, like around the trapezius and then something, because I have the tear sheet. I have, you know, what was drawn as the official version, but I can't find it in my studio, so I don't know where it is right now. And then when I look at, you know, JLA, for instance, sometimes I see stuff, sometimes I don't, so I never really am sure what I'm drawing, you know. So I think I boiled it down to, you know, a couple of additions, and then, you know, sometimes you get fancy with the shot, and, you know, then you move on. As long as he still looks like Hal Jordan, and I know that kind of the directive was to make everybody look a bit younger.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I think I did. I can't really tell, actually. I think you know what? I think he's got some sideburns, doesn't he? Yeah. He knows the sideburns.
Yeah. You know, the lanky hair, so that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, he used to have that really kind of that swoop kind of in his hair. You know, parted, you know, on one side and then down. And
right.
I think things got a little messier, you know, post 52. Sinestro looks different.
Yeah, he's definitely a bit.
Yeah, he's really different.
His costume's the same. There's no Sinestro redesign other than maybe the collar, and then his Well, the fact that he's a Green Lantern. I draw him a little younger than he was looking and a little less weathered and you know, this is a kinder, gentler, at least for the moment, Sinestro. I kind of liked him before more. I think I enjoyed drawing him with more of the baggy eyes and the just more line work in the face, but I've kind of taken a lot of that out. I don't know.
Now were you specifically told to make Sinestro look younger or just in general?
Well, to tell you the truth, I can't remember. Maybe I was. You know, it is possible that the idea was freshen these people up, and, you know, that's just how it is. That's probably what happened. Maybe just a psychological choice. Make him look more, since they stuck him with the hero, you know, costume and
motif.
He's not Sinestro, the bad Sinestro. And I don't know. If you guys end up responding to it one way or another, I really don't know. Do you like more of a weathered kind of Sinestro? Or do you guys like the more GQ Sinestro? You know, have to tell me.
From my personal experience, I definitely saw the difference, and I figured that's exactly what it was. It was just, I mean, everybody got skewed younger, but I figured Sinestro, you don't really need to skew him younger. He's the bad guy, and he's around for a million years, so it's not like he's still a rookie. So I figured you just made him look a little prettier because he's a good guy, and I get it. So I mean, I like him looking baggier because I like him nastier. So I mean, I prefer him as the bad guy. The whole turning face thing is a little hard to swallow after reading Green Lantern in the past couple of decades. You know, so
I suppose if you pick it up and you pan across how Sinestro's looked, even his mustache goes through alterations over time depending on his drawing and
even the size of his head, all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
definitely his forehead.
Yeah,
earrings, all that stuff.
I definitely prefer the old Space Hitler Sinestro.
I guess there's a time and place for who knows. Life is long. Comic books continue on. Who knows? Everybody will be served yet once again.
But for me personally, it's like I kind of like to consider Green Lantern this sort of safety bubble within everything that's going on in the New 52. Like, it's things are rebooted, but Green Lantern is more or less the same. So it's like, well, Sinestro was older before, so let's see him older now. But yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, actually, it was a pretty slick move to. I mean, I thought Jeff did that really nice to Sinestro back into what. It doesn't appear that Sinestro was, you know, like really taken by it, but his mission is. Seems to be for some kind of greater good that Sinestro perceives, whether or not he's with the Sinestro Corps, with the Green Lantern Corps. You know, I think he's still doing what Sinestro does. He's just doing it in a different way.
In his mind, he's still doing right.
Yeah.
So, recently we've seen Carol pop up in New Guardians with her new black and pink outfit, but in the first arc, the Liz Lane Green Lantern and Digger Penn, she sported the same outfit she wore in the last volume. This might be a little bit more of a creative question in terms of, like, what happened, but I'm also curious, this decision is more reflective of like a movement in DC editorial to more, you know, fully clothed women. I mean, other examples being like Power Girl and, you know, the early inclination to put, you know, pants on Wonder Woman.
Well, there you go. I haven't even seen it yet. Which issue was it in?
New Guardians number 0. You got like a black, you know, undergarment underneath the pink crystal lines.
Really?
Yeah. Like a wetsuit underneath the crystal.
No kidding.
Actually, it looks
so. She's cool. Not quite so. She's. In other words, the
with no explanation.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's an explanation coming. I haven't figured it out yet. Yeah. Or maybe Carol has power over it. Who knows?
She's not playing with Hal, so she doesn't feel like she has to dress up.
It's like, oh, I'm hanging with Kyle. Time to.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that entire book still happens to be that Kyle's gonna eventually go through all the different colored rainbow spectrum, and he'll eventually land on pink. So of course we can't have a male Green Lantern wearing acid chaps running around, you know, preaching love. So they have to.
Oh, what are you talking about? Of course we can. He can pull it off.
Listen, no doubt. I would love Kyle wearing acid chaps running around in the New Guardians book, but apparently,
I believe Eric made just such a costume to wear for you, Doug. I could be mistaken.
Well, you know, it's going to look better on some than others. That's just how, you know, that's how it goes. And I don't know if I would do it justice, but, you know, I could give it a shot. Let me check it out myself in the mirror first before I parade it in front of anybody.
long as you're wearing it, that's what matters. You know?
as long as that ring that I get to wear with it has some power, actually. So,
yeah.
So it's not specifically just a lesson in humility.
I think the ring that Eric's going to give you only has the power to possibly be annulled if you're quick.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now I'm going to have to go. Now that I get off the phone, I'm going to have to go find that zero issue and.
Yeah,
you'd think that I would look, you know, but sometimes it takes a while. The comics pack pile up.
I did want to ask you that. Like, how well are you in contact with all the other writers and artists on the Green Lantern titles? Like, are you talking with Tony Bedard? Are you talking with like everybody else that's going on, like Fran Passerin, all these other creators?
Yeah,
like,
I'll tell you how much. Not at all. I mean, if I see these guys, you know, for example, you know, seeing Tony Bedard at a convention a long time ago, I don't do much conventions, which is pretty clear. It's pretty rare. And then, you know, we just don't really have to. I mean, it'd be cool. Believe me, it would probably be fun. It never even occurred to me, but I think I'm, you know, the schedule is so tight and I'm so entrenched in this. The idea of actually, you know, relaxing and, you know, going over notes and seeing what people do. I do try to, you know, I do pull out comics and I see what's going on, but I don't always do it with regularity. You know, so I'm not always up on what's going on in the other books. Sad to say, it's just that easy by the end of the day, especially a long day, to put it aside and not take a look. You know, I want to go do something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're over there busting your ass.
Well, you know, I wish it was a little bit more relaxed and that I could embrace my comicness a little bit more thoroughly when I was done with the day, but it's you know, it just goes by so fast. Get up early, get done, you know, after 10 hours or sometimes longer. So 12-hour days, not too unusual. Things get really hot, you know, especially toward finishing up the last third of an issue, usually, you know, a 15-hour day and then more just becomes regular. Yeah, but, you know, I'm just doing it at home. It's not like nobody's asking me to go down and, you know, someplace where it's difficult. I'm not, like, hauling rock all day long in the hot sun. You know, all I get is a little water. Right? So I actually do have, you know, creature comforts and, it's just you know,
putting roofs on houses.
I fit a lot, but you know, I should. I try to keep up on it. I fail. I get up and I try again.
All right. Last question for me. Sure. So, are you still in this for the long haul? I mean, how many issues do you think you have left in you, and is it still as enjoyable now as it was in the beginning?
Actually, I'd say it's more enjoyable now.
Nice.
For a few different reasons, because I came on in what was actually a heated atmosphere. You know, getting things rolling with the Blackest Night stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I really approached Blackest Night stuff different. You know, we were in this rotation with these books. You know, everything had to be out on time, of course, just like as well as possible. But I was more focused on just getting it done. Like if I had a certain amount of time on a page, I often would, you know, cut my losses and, you know, just hand it in so that keep editorial happy, keep everybody else happy. So, you know, when I reflect back on, especially Blackest Night, and I look, I go, wow, this issue looks really good. And I go, oh yeah, this is where it got tough. This is why I said, all right, it's got to go out the door. And, you know, that atmosphere changed. And even now, even though I am highly stressed most of the time, I do approach it mentally from a different aspect, and I really do try to put everything into it that I can. And I'm happy with the product, and you know, I'm happier with the results. And I know the character's all that much better. I'm comfortable with it. You know, when I first started, it was, you know, it was a learning curve, to say the least. And I was really lucky to be with, you know, in a studio with Pat Gleason, who could answer, you know, myriad of questions, whatever. And I had so many. And now I don't need that anymore. And no, I know what's going on. Believe me, when you go in blind, it takes a while before you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know, now I know. After as many pages as I've drawn, I'm not intimidated by any of it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna move to Eric. Eric, give me your questions.
Hey, Doug. I don't know if you remember 2 years ago, I was kind of slavering all over you, and I'll I could say I'll spare you some of that, but I'm not gonna make any promises. I wanted to ask about the Bass design, just a little bit to court controversy. You know, the character's a little controversial, not just because, you know, he's a Muslim, and that's kind of, like, going to upset some people. But there was a little bit of backlash because, you know, he's a Muslim who's a criminal who kind of looks like he's wearing a ski mask and carrying a gun and stuff, and there's a little bit of a kind of, I guess that's probably some deliberate. When did this, I mean, obviously, I know you just, I don't know if it was your idea to put the mask on him or give him the gun, but when did elements like that come into it? Did you guys really consider all the kind of backlash you'd be getting from all the angles about it and stuff? And
yeah,
I mean, and you know what else? I mean, just really quick from the background, was there some? Is this? It's obviously a legitimate attempt to kind of diversify the brand, right? So I mean, it's kind of like not for nothing. The Green Lanterns are a bunch of white guys running around, so you know. But
yeah, they got people from across the universe.
Yeah, that's true. They got blue guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they got blue guys. They got all kinds of different colored guys.
Yeah,
but no, I know what you're saying. And as far as that, I mean, when you think about it, yeah, it seems like a bold move, I guess. I mean, was it done just to shake people up? I don't know. I think it was just a story that Jeff wanted to tell. And as the design of the character comes down, I mean, really, I think he wanted to, you know, to provide this element of, you know, this character, like the idea that he's a thief, or, you know, a car thief. That's somehow, and he likes cars. Okay, let's say just start from the aspect he likes cars. So, you know, using that and making more of a streamlined costume, because the costume is, you know, different and kind of cool. I think I like it. And then he has on the racing gloves. Because he's used to handling a wheel, I guess. And, you know, as far as the ski mask qualities to it, yeah, you know, does it make him look more like a terrorist? Or does it make him, I guess I haven't really thought of how he's perceived the most. I guess I haven't even looked and checked what people's responses are to his design or anything.
I can speak for myself. I dig the design a lot. I mean, it's not like, it's almost like, you know, of course I did. I mean, it's a great design, and I like the touches and flares as opposed to whatever. And even the three-quarter sleeves, or I guess the two-quarter sleeves, I dig them, you know.
Yeah.
And I know it's just to show off the tattoo and stuff, and that wasn't quite your deal, but I think it works. And I totally see what you're talking about with the racing gig and stuff.
And in the script I'm working on, you know, it doesn't call for him to have a weapon, so.
Yeah.
There's something that's coming that's going to figure into it. I can't imagine it's all that big of a deal, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
You know, the big deal, of course, is that the Third Army's coming. And,
sure.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you can take out the Third Army with a bullet between the eyes easier than I don't know. Maybe
so old fine. Zombie rules work on the Third Army?
Like, they're just like, they're allergic to lead or something. Like, I've got the best idea, you know. Yeah.
Hey, all it takes is this. Maybe he gets to fire Green Lantern bullets. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, do you get, I don't know, this is kind of the nitty gritty of it, do you get, like, co-creator credit? Like, if I go and buy a Baz action figure, am I putting 10 cents in your pocket? Because I'll do it.
Yeah, I better find out, because if I get 10 cents for everyone that's bought, I'm going to ask for 15, but. No, I don't know, actually. I'll have to find out. I mean, clearly I got some, you know, some responsibility for designing the costume. I don't know what he did.
Yeah.
And DC is, you know, pretty generous with stuff like that as concern. They've always been.
Yeah, I hear, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chuck Gibson, you know, like a bandit from the Batman movie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to have to find that out.
Yeah.
If they ever make a badge, it should say costume designed by...
Yeah, just straight up get co-create. Yeah, you like get Jeff Johns and Doug Manchin right up there on the big screen. You know, I do want
to
say though.
We'll see how much they're willing to give me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point where they do not go beyond, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, you know, you don't want to give away everything, you know. But on the other hand, I'll take what I can get.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's good, too, because it looks like you guys are developing, like, a supporting cast around Baz. And, I mean, I know I came into it looking kind of critical, but, I mean, I as someone who's been reading these comics for years, I've been saying we need a new Green Lantern character. Let's bring someone in with a completely new perspective and stuff. And I mean, obviously, a whole universe is being set up around the character and stuff. And, I mean, how much – I mean, I know a lot of it's Jeff's issue, but how much creative input is he letting you get in this kind of stuff? I mean, I know it's
– when it comes to that, not a great deal, you know. I mean, Jeff is pretty – He's a detailed guy when it comes down to what he wants to include in a comic. You know, where I get any licenses, you know, I'll make adjustments in what we're seeing. But, you know, he's got clarity. He's not calling me up asking me for advice. Let's put it that way.
Right.
He thinks about this stuff so far ahead of, time that, you know, he's got most of the details already worked out. I mean, as far as like the cast that's around Bass, I mean, with what we know that's coming, which is his Third Army stuff, you know, I don't know how much time they're going to be able to dwell on Bass and his Earth problems, you know, which are considerable at the moment. You know, we're going to have to build up some of it, but at the end of it, you know, at the end of it, this is a Green Lantern story that involves, you know, Green Lantern's doing what they do best, and you know, he's going to have to get up to speed sooner than later.
Yeah, and I gotta say, out of all the new designs popping out for the Third Army stuff, I'm really liking the Baz design. Are you involved in? I mean, obviously, you said you weren't up to date on what's going on with Carol and stuff, but like the Third Army monsters, there's been a couple of the redesigns coming down the line, like those Guardians stuck in that Chamber of Sorrows or whatever. I mean, how much input are you having in terms of design and stuff?
None. I think that things I won't say none. Usually, this is how it happens. You know, when something rolls across my desk and something that is pertinent to the book that I'm working on at that moment, you know, like with the Third Army characters, because, you know, Ethan did the art chores for the annual. And, you know, so it could free me up to spend more time, you know, specifically on Green Lantern Zero. And then, yeah, you know, I believe Ethan is the one who designed them. And then, you know, whatever else is, you know, coming our way, I really don't know. You know, sometimes it's just so on the fly when we get time to design stuff. The only time it seems to be done in advance is if other people have to use it in multiple books. If it's just something I'm going to be dealing with, they're not going to alert me ahead of time and say, "Hey, you really need to get this done." You just designing as it comes. In a way, when you do it that way, where a book is concerned, when things come in as they need it, that, you know, that can be unfortunate, because it's when it comes down to designs, it's always nice, but I'll spend more time working on something than not. You know, when you know that people are going to see it again and again and again, you want it to look good, and you want to spend the extra hours, you know, thinking about it and making sure that it's the right thing. So,
yeah. Even like the couple of shots we see, like Korgar, the Sinestro's dress outfit in that picture from like Green Lantern 11 and stuff. I mean, that stuff looked great. You know, I mean, like, so if they're, you know, you should just tell them that this guy from the Green Lantern Corps cast said you should be designing more of the elements of the Green Lantern universe than you are already. So, but yeah. I mean, I want to ask about some independent stuff. I think we talked about it last time, and I know you're so trapped up in this stuff. I mean, are you thinking about maybe? You know, I mean, I know it's like 20 years too late to say, "Hey, about some more mask and stuff like that." But I mean, are you thinking about out of DC anytime soon? Maybe doing some of your own creator-owned stuff. So I don't know if you have an exclusive with them and you're not able to. But
I'm not. I mean, I'm an exclusive. I've been exclusive with DC for so many years. I forget what it's like not to be exclusive. and there's security in that, and you know, working in an industry that nobody owes you anything. You know, if you can produce and you know, draw well and fast, you know, I mean, some people, you know, I mean, that's a limiting factor, and so it keeps me pretty valuable to DC. And I like where I'm at. As far as the idea of doing creator-owned stuff, you know, like you mentioned the mask. Somebody brought up some mask stuff to me. Actually, I was out to dinner with Pat Gleason, and he had pulled out some mask stuff, and he said, you know what the best part of the mask was? I go, what? You know, especially by the fact that he was reading it. He goes, it was Walter. You know, Walter, he was going off on...
Oh, I was about to say, specifically, like, where is Walter? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Walter is just, you know, so when I started thinking about this stuff and I remember, you know, working on it, you know, whatever joys came along with it or the times, yeah, it, believe me, it'd be fun to go back and do anything. But I also keep well in perspective what I'm, you know, what I'm working on. As far as creator-owned stuff, it's literally just having the time because, you know, every one of these pages, everything you do takes time. And then if you want to do something, if you want to work on something outside of work, you know, well, do I want to take time away from my family? You know, do I really want to do that? And I have plenty of ideas. Are any of them ever going to see the light of day? You know, let's see, the last creator-owned thing I actually did was Major Bummer, and that's been...
Major Bummer?
When I first came to D.C. So, I mean, that's a long time.
I was just on the internet the other day, and I ran across a brand new blog post from, like, last month about Major Bummer, so people are still looking for that, so...
Yeah, that's what happens when you put out the massive collection that Dark Horse did of the...
Yeah.
You know, it's a phone book.
And it's something too that I mean, I know it's like all work oriented and stuff, and a lot of your design elements. I mean, just, you know, your art's very kinetic. So I mean, I'm zipping through these issues of Green Lantern, but I really liked at least the beginning of the pacing of Green Lantern Zero, because it looked like you got a little bit more, I guess cartooning is the right word, in terms of just like actually, like, you know, instead of characters expositing, which obviously isn't your fault, you know, because you make that dynamic yourself even, but like. Yeah, you got to do a little bit of like actual storytelling in the art and stuff, and that's pretty cool. That was like my favorite part of the first like maybe 10 pages, you know, just like you were telling.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, in Green Lantern, we don't spend a lot of time doing that. You know, we actually got to tell you know this little bit of this tale, and that was. I totally agree. I get to step out of what's ordinary and do something. Very different. It harkened really back to when I started, you know, Green Lantern on issue 43, and you know, the story with Black Hand, because it's completely it wasn't a Green Lantern story, you know, it had to do with it, but it was this, you know, this other slice of life, and I enjoy when I get to do stuff like that with characters. It's kind of few, far, and in between.
Yeah, and I was even going to say it's good thing you mentioned the because the Black Hand parts of issue 11 like totally popped. I mean, I like the fill-in art on the 12th issue, and I'm glad you got a break and stuff like that, but it was a little disappointing to see you pulled off of Black Hand stuff, because I love that issue. The Black Hand issue is maybe my favorite issue of Green Lantern. You know,
it would have been fun to have done it all, but, you know, I would have been an absolute shell of a human being at the moment if I did that stuff. So, I mean, there just comes a time when our scheduling is just so tight, and really when it came down to the Zero issue, I wanted to put more time in it. They knew that I needed to, and you know, because it had to sit a bit more uniquely than you know, just banging it out. And I really did take quite a bit of time on it. And that's a rarity. I mean, when things really get cooking around here, and I gotta get stuff done, you know, I can do a really nice page, but. You know, I believe I can barely dribble out my own name by the time I get done with each story. I put myself back together over a course of a few days and clear my head, and then I dive back in, and you know, I draw like a third grader for the first, you know, third grader, probably like a 3-year-old. It takes a few days before the brain starts working again, and eventually I'm back up to speed, and I don't think I could have done that on the Zero issue.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody else in DC who's currently in the stable who's been at it as long as you, penciling a book almost nonstop for 4 years, for goodness sake. I mean, even letting alone the fact that a lot of creative teams are changing on the books now and stuff. But yeah. For stuff like the Zero issue, when it gets, in terms of get stuff getting reprinted, because your stuff gets reprinted all the time, obviously, do they ever give you an opportunity to go back and say, you know, because I know DC's done that for some major releases. They've had guys go back and, okay, could you just redraw this page, or... Oh, you can finish that if you want and stuff like that. Did they ever give you the opportunity, or would you ever make a request? I mean, I thought the Zero issue looked good. I don't have any problems with it, but I mean, like, you're right. I mean, it's if Baz works out the way I think should, you know, it's going to be an important issue in terms of, like, you know, the future and stuff. People will be looking at it a lot, and luckily it's so well drawn that, I mean, you know, do you get the opportunity to do that, or is that even kind of like a taboo?
I think that if, you know, I believe that I've thought about it in the past, only in the sense that, you know, when you see a clunker of a page, you certainly wish you could redo it. But then, you know, time moves on and you're busy with stuff. And it would be, you know, if it became important and, you know, if it, I think it'd be more like a committee decision to do that. Even if I wanted to do it, would be a wise thing to do. I don't know. You know, it's not like in the old days, people, you know, were busy redrawing stuff. You know, you do what you do and then you continue on. If it truly had a positive effect on the story, you know, if there was something in there and I went, oh, that is so bad, please let me redraw it. I'll pay you guys to let me redraw it. You know, then that'd be, I'd do it. Believe me, I'd do it. But, that, you know, that doesn't come around too much anymore. The only thing that I wish that we had is more time. You know, and the inkers are always under stress, and you know, it always takes more than one person to ink this book, just because of the way I, you know, the way I draw, and then, you know, when people, you know, have to really put their effort forward to finish a book so we can get out on time. You know, I wish I wasn't stressing out inkers as much as I do, but at least it gets done.
Yeah.
I wish everyone had enough time.
Well, I mean, I want to ask about the
coloring.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we do see there's a lot of inkers on the books, and, you know, like I said, I think we assumed it's because of how detailed your style is and stuff, and I'm not complaining, you know. I mean, and you can tell there's some inkers that do a great job and some inkers that, you know, not that they don't do a great job, but, you know, some inkers kind of hide your pencils while other inkers don't and stuff, and I think there was one splat, which I'm almost, like, numb with the amount of prophecies in Green Lantern, but there was the prophecy page in 11 that I thought looked great, and there was this way that was inked, and I kind of thought you inked it yourself, and I saw you were one of the inkers, and you are kind of one of the inkers and stuff, and so it was almost like a fun game, you know, trying to guess who's done what.
See if you could identify who inked what page.
I kind of know Keith Champagne, how he does, that's how you pronounce his name, and I've seen you pencil and ink your own stuff, so I know kind of like, I believe that page, the splash page, which I think was Baz's first actual appearance on page, I think you inked that. I mean, I'm guessing, but I mean, that's not even to insult. It's just kind of, I mean, there's actually a guy on our cast who we had a long running argument about. He did not really understand what inking was, and there's actually a good example. Because you can see some of these books, like, you know, some people are like, hey, Doug's art looks really different in issue like 9. And I'm like, well, look who inked it and stuff, and, you know, not bad, but different and stuff. So, I mean, how do you end up inking pages, honestly, considering you're so backed up as it is?
If I have to, believe me, at this point, if I have to ink a page, it's because there is no choice otherwise, you know, for us to get it done, you know, to get a book out. So I've made a commitment to do it as little as possible, just because, you know, I mean, there's a time when I penciled ink books, you know, when I have done it, and it's a totally different, it's like being in a different gear. You know, I pencil differently for it, prepare myself differently for it, the tools that I select. But when I'm up against a guy like, you know, like, Christian Alamy, and I know that my pages are going to be anywhere near his, you know, I start to shake a little bit and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, I have to make this like a certain way. And,
yeah,
you know, so I pull out different tools. And when I was younger, and I used to do, you know, more inking years ago, you know, I was almost exclusively a brush guy, but I just don't have that steady of a hand anymore. And,
right.
So, you know, I have to resort to stuff like pens, and not that there's nothing wrong with it, but if you're inking on a regular basis and you got your chops down, that's great. If you're like me and you realize that, hey, you guys, I'll do this so we can get the book out, you know, then it's going to happen, but only as a last resort. And then I'll really try it. It's funny, you know. But I like covers too. You know, I've inked a few covers, and
yeah,
always
that,
way too
that
long.
Team 7 covers you, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, like I've got, I don't remember which cover. Actually, there's a cover I just finished, you know, and I inked it. And, you know, I really, I had penciled it, you know, originally with the intent of not inking it. So it was kind of nice to go over my own pencils, you know, that I actually finish in a proper way.
Oh, like,
not so
right,
organic.
Right.
And, you know, so there was less brain work on my, or, you know, less free handing. But at the same time, it took me a long time. I like to ink, you know, in fact, it's fun then. But my natural style, like what I would gravitate towards if you, you know, like something, I don't know if you you know, you think of the Inks and something like Grant Morrison's, you know, The Seven Soldiers Frankenstein.
Yeah.
It's just me just totally riffing on these pencils and having fun. You know, that's a completely different thing than what you would do for Green Lantern. It just wouldn't be appropriate.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Well, that's what I was thinking about that splash page in 11. I keep attributing it to you, but it's like it was so punchy because I was like, oh, that's totally Doug. That's Major Bummer. That's
if you're even right, which is it the double page spread?
It's where they get the flash forward and Baz is in the center and the Guardians.
No, that's mine. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I see what you're talking about, because, I mean, you want something cleaner, but, like, I mean, that's, I do that, you know, like, yeah, yeah.
See, I'll try to do something clean, and then I'll look at it next to other people, you know, the rest of, you know, like, Keith or Christians or Tom or something, and I'll go, yeah, you can tell you don't ink for a living.
You know, honestly,
but
though.
You see, when I do my own stuff, though, when I ink my own stuff, I can do it. You know, I just take a completely different approach. You know, just using that Frankenstein as an example.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to, you know, do what I don't even draw the same way when I'm doing something like that. You know, then I'm in a totally different world, and you know, I have a completely different approach. And I even use a tool that I won't use on this stuff, which is a C6 nib that I really like to use. I'm comfortable with it. And I do that stuff, and I know how to use it, but, you know, I get a totally different line out of that, and I just wouldn't use that over this stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, like, the style's different, right? I mean, there's almost, like, there's sort of, like, this lensing thing that you do that's awesome, this forced perspective thing on a lot of, and it shows up more in stuff like Frankenstein and nastier stuff. Not, you know, nasty in terms of, I'm sure, nasty in, like, nice nasty, like, you know. But, you know, the
nice
nasty
stuff.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
good
yeah.
Nasty.
That's it. You put that on the blurb on the back of your neck. Nice nasty, good nasty.
I'll put that on my headstone when I die. He did the nice.
Give me the name of your art book.
Good nasty. Yeah, and I think, actually, it's appropriate for, like, a prophecy and stuff, because you can really get disgusting and, like, really nitty and, like, you know, we'll be with that, because you can, so.
Yeah, I love doing that stuff. It's fun to sit down and texture and, you know, this visceral stuff in your art. But, you know, Green Lantern is much more about slick and, it's a different way. It's just a different approach.
And, you know, honestly, I want to say.
Yeah?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, like, even, like, we talked about, like, certain aliens and how characters like Larfleeze and Atrocitus, these really crazy designs that I think, who did Larfleeze. I think Shane Davis did the Atrocitus design, and he has this very specific face that you were, like, the only artist who kind of bothered to draw, because him and Larfleeze, there was this period where a lot of characters were coming out, and it looked like the, you know, Simon Bisley, Doug Monkey, like, you know, the style of, like, let's draw some really gross-ass monsters, you know, like, really, really attractive stuff. And it was this cool thing. Whenever you draw Atrocitus, he has these big circles on his cheeks, and you're, like, the only guy who draws that, you know, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Atrocitus was fun as hell to draw, man. That guy was, he was a blast. And he looks a little different now. I think they changed the style of his teeth, and I think maybe he's even capable of making an expression now. I don't know.
Yeah, he's very expressible now.
He's got lips. It's a total. And I hate to say letdown, but it's a total letdown. And it's not that. And I love the work you're doing on Green Lantern, but you should be on a higher profile book like that. But it's almost. Sometimes I look at the Red Lantern book and I think, you know, it's almost a shame Doug's not on this book.
Well, you just lobby. You lobby. You know, just say, just keep putting that out there.
You know, I don't know if it's, well, yeah, I think you guys are definitely up there. At least the only people giving you competition are the Batman guys, which is Pat Gleason and Batman and Robin.
I love what he's been doing.
He's awesome. He's great. The two of you guys, like, it's almost like a shame looking at anybody else's books. You're like, what are you guys? Like,
or you are too kind.
So how far ahead, I mean, I'll only ask you a couple more questions. I know these guys got a lot of things to say, but how far ahead are you at this point? I mean, I know the Third Army's happening. Are you going for
how far ahead? Oh, if only. That's a cool concept. It's like I click my little red ruby slippers. I said, there's no place like being far ahead. There's no place like being far ahead. Nah, we're just, man, I work hand to fist right now.
Yeah, wow, nothing.
So you know, we're staying up. You know, we're treading water. You know, if I had three issues in a bag, oh, I would be, you'd be talking to a very relaxed human being. I wouldn't be, you know, like my day starts when I get up, you know, it's like how much coffee can I get down my throat before my brain starts to work at optimum level.
Okay,
so I sit there, it's just one cup, two cups, three cups, four cups. Usually things can start like this morning though, because I had been really tired. I drank three cups of coffee because I got real early. And then I went back to bed. and so then I got up and I had two more cups of coffee after a couple of hours. And you know, really, if there's a downside to coffee, I haven't really encountered it yet. I can't imagine. I can't turn anything stronger because, frankly, I can't. You know, this is a family show, and I can't possibly, you know, dig into the crystal meth and, you know, grab the Adderall or do whatever I can, you know, to keep going.
Yeah.
So, I will coffee and more coffee, and then as much coffee as I can. And, boy, if you knew how many books they finished only because, you know, somebody has bought it to grind up coffee beans and run, you know, filter water and all that stuff. You know, it's not me that's doing it. Believe me, it's coffee. I'm convinced that coffee is the reason that, you know, human beings manage to civilize the world as it is.
Well, I think I just should say you're a saint among comic artists. So there you go. And yeah, I mean, like I said, the detail work is not underappreciated. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's almost like, it's funny because the just chatter on the internet, it's almost like accepted. Like, oh yeah, Doug wrote great art as usual on Green Lantern. It's almost like a shame. You should put out a crap issue just once, just so people really appreciate what you do.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, we'll see what happens. you know what happened? I'll do that, and I'll go, this is the best comic ever.
You know, I'll
be like, he got rid of the freaking backgrounds that he draws and shit. Look, there's a bunch of great shots of heads.
Save the crappy for the Gray Lanterns, where it's just like,
it's like, I know you said it's Detroit, but I decided Detroit had a blackout, so, you know.
Yeah. You can't see for shit. All we got is just, like, flashlights in people's faces.
That's it.
It'll just be the glow of a ring here and there. And then we could do, like, something from, you know, like, when the in the Pink Panther cartoons where it'd be in the dark and all of a sudden you'd
see the guy bubbles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the whole issue.
You
can write it and then people be like, oh, it's a special issue and you get away with it. Marvel does those styling issues every couple of years. It's like...
I'll win an Eisner. That's what'll happen.
Just give it a Hall of Foil cover, it'll all be good.
I don't want to bug you about Pat Gleason, but I guess I'll let the next...
Well, let me just say one word about Pat. Just because it's worthwhile. You know, like he was my buddy. He still is. You know, I've known him for many, many years. And we had 4 years together in the studio. And I moved my studio back home because I just moved too far away from the studio to keep it up. And, you know, Pat went from Core, which was phenomenal watching him do the work.
Yeah.
And we'd always been, you know, he's always drawing these scenes that had so many characters in them, and they do it a certain way. And we would, you know, myself and other friends would, you know, pull out some old stuff, say, remember when you used to, like, put blacks in and stuff like that, and, you know, use more contrast in your storytelling, and he really just couldn't do it that much on Core. You know, he became like fill the space. And now, you know, in Batman and Robin, I think he has kind of rediscovered, you know, some of the things that he had lost in terms of art. You know, in terms of the graphic aspect of what Pat Gleason can do. And believe me, I love the look at everything he did on Core. You know, I love his art. I always have, you know. But I'm really enjoying also his method on Batman and Robin is really different than what he was doing on
Core. Oh, yeah. It's like unleashed is the word to describe it. It's exactly what it looks like. It's like he only has to work on three people a frame, and he's doing it. Oh my god, it's nuts! It's absolutely nuts.
I look at what he does, and I go, oh god, I have so much to learn. I'm getting old. I don't think I can. My brain isn't that flexible. How does Pat do it?
Yeah, it was crazy because it was when you, the last time I did the interview, was I guess the first time I found out you guys were had the studio and were friends. I think you still had the studio last time I did the interview and stuff. Okay. But, for me, that was like nuts. I'm like, of course. Like looking at the little guy's style.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun. And, you know, I don't know if I ran the story past you. I probably had, but, you know, I mean, I knew Pat before I got into comics, and I'm the one who told him. He said, hey, you want to work in this business? You will. And you know, I helped try to point him in the right direction, and he did the rest himself.
So are you the person to blame for putting him on Batman?
What's that?
You put him up to doing Batman then. You talked him into the gig, and now we don't have Pat Gleason on Green Lantern Corps.
Well, I mean, if I talked him into Batman, boy, I'm a good guy.
Yeah, it's Green Lantern's loss, but comic done game, so.
Well, you know, I think that he had, I can't say burned out on Green Lantern Corps. I think he loves the Corps. And, you know, I think he's really proud of everything he did. And but it was nice to see him shift gears and do something different, you know. Otherwise, he could have just still be doing it. Which I know wouldn't have been a bad thing, but it's nice just to see how he applies himself to other stuff, because I always wondered that, you know, I bet you would be really good if he was drawing Batman. Well, he's really good drawing Robin. I love his approach.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, I mean, thanks, Doug. I'm sure I'll chime in later with other stuff as I'm, like, just, you know. I'm staring at a picture of you dreamy eyes, so don't worry about
it. Yeah, yeah, you know, and you had so little to say.
You have reached the end of part one of our exclusive interview with Doug Monkey. Stay tuned for more.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done?